both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only we talking the truth, only we talking the truth, ayy.
All right, Taz and the Moose with you here on this action-packed Monday morning. CBS Sports Radio, Sirius and XM 206 app as well. Check out the podcast. Appreciate all the love and support you give us there. Radio.com, Apple Podcast, Twitcher as well. Number of ways that you can hit upon us there. Or Stitcher.
I'm just thinking. There's a lot going on.
No, there is. Stitcher. There you go. Mike and Connor across the way. Bogish with your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go. And Taz, to kick off this hour, let's hear from the Titans tight end Delanie Walker.
And this game, this is just another game. We ain't worried about it. I'm gonna tell you again, man. They were who we thought they were. Y'all can crown them if you want to crown them. Still gotta play football.
See, that is Delanie Walker grabbing his best Dennis Green, right? Who we remember on that great. Was it Sunday night game, Arizona and Chicago,
the Bears,
out there in Arizona,
that's fun.
Where Dennis Green basically said, you want to crown their ass? Crown their ass. We know what they are, right? Yep. So, and basically Delanie Walker said the same thing yesterday, Taz, because that thud you heard was the Cleveland Browns. And there were bad performances. Miami, you know, I expected Miami to lose yesterday to Baltimore. I didn't expect them to get utterly
bad.
Throttled the way that they did, right? There were disappointing performances. We'll touch upon them all. But,
right.
Taz, the Cleveland Browns' performance, inefficiency offensively, defensively. The offensive line got absolutely exposed by that Titans defense. Mayfield did not look good. They had 18 penalties for over 180 yards as a team. They were sloppy all afternoon long. It was a pitiful,
horrible
performance by the Browns.
Horrible, man. You nailed everything on it. It was just, I was really surprised. I mean, they got to figure this out, and they got too much talent to be this bad. I mean, but it was horrible. I mean, Mayfield, 3 picks, dude, really? All that chirping you do, 3 picks?
Terrible.
Really? Come on, dude. Really? All these weapons? I mean, Freddie Kitchens, Swagger Jones, big shot, big man in town. You know, really? You want to talk the talk, you got to step up. Otherwise, guys like Walker, Delanie Walker, is going to come out and bury you. You know, I mean, and that's what he did, doing the Denny Green gimmick, which is funny.
Well, he did. Here is Mayfield after that loss.
Everybody's going to throw us in the trash.
No doubt.
I think that's good. I know what type of men we have in this locker room, and quite frankly, I don't really give a damn what happens on the outside. I know how we're going to react. I know what we're going to do, how we're going to bounce back, and we got a Monday night game coming up, so we don't really care.
Well, the Moose, the Browns, who we thought they were, okay, not the Bears. That's the Denny Green. You mentioned Denny Green.
Yes.
We have that, right?
Yeah, let's take a look.
This is
great. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played 3 quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Dude, I forgot how good that was.
He was great. That was fantastic. I mean, that is one of those
so
Jim Mora playoffs. Playoffs. I mean, that is one that you'll be hearing about. You'll hear about just as you hear about today. You'll be hearing about 30 years from today, Taz. It's just one of those moments in a press conference that you absolutely adore. I'll tell you, Harrison made this point, Rodney, that is on NBC last night. And Mayfield kind of echoed it a little bit, the similar sentiment, and hopefully he believes it. The Browns need to eat a little bit of humble pie. And maybe, as Harrison said, maybe this is the best thing that could have possibly happened. Everyone talked about the Browns during the course of the offseason. Everyone, you know, Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., Landry, what they were able to do. The new head coach, Kitchens, talking a big game. Maybe this team needed to be humbled in order to come together and realize that it's not going to be all handed to them. Maybe they needed this kind of performance. I'm not going to all of a sudden tell you that the Browns are done this year, Taz, because I think it would be foolish week one. Nobody's firing on all cylinders week one.
No, of course.
But maybe eating a little bit of humble pie, maybe it's the best thing for the Browns.
Listen, I completely agree with Harrison. I agree with you, and I believe in humility. I think that's important. That softens you up. That makes you get better. But I got to be honest with you, playing my best psychiatrist here, listen to that sound we had of Baker Mayfield talking about shaking off the critics. I mean, if you listen to it, that just, again, we're taking, I didn't hear his whole press conference,
right.
Just taking a
snippet.
But that doesn't scream, you know what, the critics, if someone's asking me about the critics and I'm Baker Mayfield, after going 25 or 38, you know, three interceptions, I would say, and getting beat up like that, I would say, you know what? The critics should rip us. We deserve to be ripped. We were horrible. Instead, he came off with
defiant.
Right, with that anger chip. And I love the chip. I love that about him. My wrestling career, I had a chip on my shoulder forever. But, you know, to your point and Harrison's point, talking about being humble, that doesn't scream humble.
No, it doesn't. You know? But maybe listen, if that's not a humbling performance, I don't know what is.
I don't either.
I mean, you got beat every which way but Sunday. It's like... Here's what it's like: the Tennessee Titans came out and represented Dave Gettleman, Pat Shurmur, and the Giants, and they came out and basically said, "We've had enough of Beckham. We've had enough of Baker Mayfield." It's like everybody that's anti-Cleveland Brown, the Tennessee Titans rised up for yesterday and put an absolute butt whooping on them. That is what they did.
Because I watched a good man. I didn't watch the end of this game. I knew it was kind of once the third quarter happened, Titans put up 10. They put up 21 points, the Titans did, on the Browns in the fourth quarter. I mean, just 21 points.
Oh, they laid it on them. I mean, Taz, they laid it on them. It's one of the more disappointing performances of week one. I don't think there's any way you cut it. I think one of the most encouraging performances of week one, how about down to Dallas?
Oh, you broke my heart. I thought you were going to say the Bills.
Oh, we'll get to the Bills.
No, but I'm sitting here. I'm the build-up. Here he goes. One of the most encouraging was
what do you mean? You sent out a tweet. I know we won, but we still stink. Why am I going to say the Bills? I mean, come on. What are you talking about
here? I'm a Bills fan.
I don't think you come out of that game being like, man, the Bills are going to the Super Bowl.
No,
I don't think you're coming out of that one thinking that.
I have to win in the AFC East, but that was last week.
I understand that. They found a way to win the game. But we'll get to the Bills here. How about the Cowboys, Taz? Listen, the Giants have got massive issues. We know how brilliant Barkley is. Offensively, they look good early. Look good in certain stretch. You saw Daniel Jones late in the game before he fumbled away his opportunity. But Dak was brilliant. And I don't want to overread it, Taz, and all of a sudden say he's figured it out. Gallup played well. Cooper played well. Randall Cobb, the former Packer,
was real good.
Really good. The passes by Dak Prescott were precise, but I think you have to look at it a little bit with a little bit of a curve. That Giant defense is atrocious.
I don't know what's worse in New York, the Giants defense or the Jets defense. Both stink.
The Jets defense of the second half.
Oh, my God.
It was awful.
Horrible.
It was awful. But the Giants defense in total, the Dallas Cowboys had over 300 yards of offense in the first half. They made Dak Prescott look like he was the best quarterback.
Joe Montana.
It was like the best quarterback in the NFL.
I know. I was watching the game, and I'm like, man. Dak, and I'm like, geez, I know me and Moose were kind of burying him a little bit during the week. Like, this guy looks great, but, you know, you're right. The Giants' defense was hurting, man. And I got to say, that I had a feeling the Cowboys, I mean.
You love Dallas.
I do. I have them winning the NFC. Here's the thing, man. And Zeke Elliott, what do you have, like 50-something yards? But the thing is, he's just getting back, getting his stuff going. He's going to have a big year. And you could tell, if he stays healthy, Zeke's going to have a really big year. O-line is great. They look great, man. And you mentioned Gallup. Wow, he was
great.
He was outstanding.
Very good. And he was a guy that was talked up last year as being that kind of a guy, Taz, and really didn't develop. And Aikman talked about during the broadcast yesterday, and I know a lot of people probably – at that stage, second half weren't locked in as the Cowboys were run away with it. But He talked about the very fact of he always thought Gallup could be that kind of a player for the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, he certainly showed it yesterday. And then you get to your Bills, who give him credit. I mean, that is a disastrous loss for the Jets. You lead a game 16-0. At home, right? And you give up, you know, you give up 14 unanswered points in the fourth quarter. And 17 unanswered points in total to lose a game 17-16, where your field goal kicker misses an extra point and a field goal, and your offense goes quiet, and your defense basically folds up the tent after C.J. Mosley goes down with a groin injury, Taz. Give your Bills credit. They continue to fight. They looked awful in the first half. Offense turned the ball over four times. The defense held in there as best as they could. But, you know, when they need to make a couple plays late, they did. And you started to see momentum swing. When it was 16-10, I thought if the Jets don't score, at least put a field goal up, I thought the Bills were going to find a way to win that game. Not all that surprising that the Jets had one of those same old Jet kind of losses.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing. The kid Singletary, now you guys see why I want him so bad in our fantasy league. Okay, from Pete Gass, who was texting me during this game. Don't engage in any texting with Pete Gass during a football game that you're actually, you're a fan of that team. And he's texting me during the Bills Jet game nonstop. And I make the mistake of engaging with Pete Gass. Okay, big mistake. Okay, because he would not stop texting me. Right? And now I'm like, you know what? You know, he's like, oh, this is great. Your team looks great. I'm like, yeah, look at Singletary. Singletary's the reason why the Bills won this game, because once he got rolling, he got the momentum, he got the offense going. I'm like, yeah, you know what, Pete? And you got that guy because I want him. You don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, you wanted to give me a guy who basically had one arm and one leg. I mean, for a trade, and, you know, I got it. But anyway, this is why I like the kid Singletary. You know, he's a hell of a running back. That's why Shady McCoy, they didn't mind, you know, getting rid of Shady, who actually had a pretty good day for the Chiefs.
He did, 10 for 81
for the Chiefs. He played good. But, yeah, no, I was happy with the win as a Browns fan, I mean, as a Bills fan, I should say, for sure. It was awesome. And especially against the Jets. I mean, to me, you know, I call this the Taz Bowl, you know, just I humbly say, because I was a Jets fan.
Yeah, that's humbly.
Yes, you know, this is the Taz Bowl. That's what I named it. So, humbly. Anyway.
Well, nice win by the Bills.
Yeah, it's excellent win. Win by Pern.
Congratulations.
It's a good way to get some momentum going.
Yes. 1-0 to begin the year as the Jets have a disastrous loss, and they are 0-1. How about the Vikings having their way with the Atlanta Falcons? I thought Atlanta would play a much better football game than they did.
Oh.
Offensive line for Minnesota was good. Defense got after Matt Ryan. Offensively, I thought Dalvin Cook had over 100 yards of offense on the ground, two touchdowns, Taz. I thought the Falcons would play a lot better than they did. They didn't. Minnesota, they hit the ground running, unlike what happened a year ago where they struggled early on. That was not the case yesterday afternoon. Minnesota, one of the more impressive teams in the 16-point victory.
Yeah, man. Dalvin Cook is back running a rock, like just unbelievable. He looked tremendous. He really did. His speed, his explosiveness, after coming back from injury, unbelievable, man. That guy is just a stud. But yeah, I was happy for the Vikings. If I had to pick who I wanted to win the game, I like the Vikings more than the Falcons. And I'm not a big Kirk Cousins guy, but putting up donuts for the first three quarters if you're the Falcons is crazy. And then they put up 12 in the fourth, and that wasn't enough, obviously, losing the game 28-12.
No, it was not, and I'd be a little concerned about that Falcon offensive line. They've got to come together as a group. Was an issue a year ago, was an issue yesterday afternoon against Minnesota as the Vikings opened up a 21-0 lead at one point in time, 28-0, and won that game in a go-away. We touched upon a little bit, Taz, you know, from a Dolphin perspective, but I do think you got to give Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens a lot of credit as well.
Yeah.
He throws for 324 yards and five touchdowns, does Lamar Jackson. Now, a lot of them where, you know, when you look at Marquise Brown, the former Oklahoma star who had 147 yards receiving and two touchdowns, a lot of them are those go routes where he's jetting past the cornerback and he's floating it out there in the corner. So it's not one of those, but he didn't make a lot of those back shoulder throw guys open. But, you know, all we heard from Baltimore is you're going to see a different Lamar Jackson. He's been working on his delivery. He's going to be able to throw it. Well, now they did take on, you know, the bad news Bears yesterday in the Miami Dolphins. But game one, he did throw it. He threw it very well.
He did. He threw it great. Like you said, five TDs, and he protected the football. Zero interceptions, which is, you know, that's the goal right there for a quarterback. He protected the ball. You know, Ingram, shockingly enough, I thought was really good on the ground for him. He had over 100 yards rushing, the former Saint. Really good right there for sure. And, you know, look, I agree with you. It is the Dolphins. We get it. But you're going on the road. Okay, it's still a professional team. I understand
somewhat.
Somewhat. I understand Tank Mo Jones. I got it, but still, like, you know, those guys that are on the field are trying to stop you defensively. They are all professionals. That, you know, you can't go 80%. That's how you get hurt. They all go 100%. They might not have the best players and all that stuff. And I don't know. It's just, I think it's a great way for whatever they worked on with Lamar Jackson to get rolling, to get his arm, get his release better and his throwing better, and he looks better when he's throwing the football. That has nothing to do with who he's against. I mean, he had a little more time to throw, obviously. But for him and Brown to get in a nice rhythm, I thought that was great for him to get, you know, a good system going, good chemistry going. Yeah, I mean, it's if you're a Browns fan, excuse me, I have a friend who's a Ravens fan, Baltimore Ravens fan, and he was texting me during the game. And he's so ecstatic. I'm like, dude, if only you guys could play the Dolphins every week. He goes, yeah, I know, but it don't matter. He goes, I'm pumped. And he's like, your Bills suck. This is when the Bills are losing. I'm like, thanks. And then the texting ended. Yeah, I have really interesting texts during the games. It's crazy.
Now, did you have an issue with Harbaugh yesterday? 35-3 up, 4th-and-1 at their own 30. This is late second quarter now, under 3-minute mark of the second quarter, running a fake punt.
It's a scrimmage.
Up 35-3.
It's a scrimmage.
4th-and-1 at your own 30, and he runs a fake punt. The punter runs 60 yards.
Tremendous.
Levine runs 60 yards to the Dolphin 10 for a first down. I understand they're professionals, Taz. I get bothered when college coaches do it. And I know these guys are all getting paid.
Right.
And they've got the big boy pants on, and they're all making a lot of money.
Yeah.
And if you can't stop it, that's not John Harbaugh's job. But I do think that's rubbing a little. You know, when you're up 35-3, I don't think that's the time to be running fake punts.
I agree with you. Even though these guys are men.
That's a tough spot.
But here, I bet you if Harbaugh was here, what he would tell you is, okay, if you had him on the phone as a guest, what he would tell you is, I feel is, we had the opportunity to try some different stuff, try some stuff in a real game.
Think about that.
That's probably what he would say to you.
Oh, you know, you're right.
And for that, it'd be tough to, you know what I mean?
Oh, I understand. Would you call it?
No.
If you're on the sideline, would you call it 35-3? I wouldn't call it.
It's from a fake punt.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't call it. I don't even care. And sometimes it's out of the head coach's hands. We've seen punters call fake punts because they get the look that they're looking for.
Right,
so what
right.
that means is that when the punting unit goes on, if the defense gives them a look that they have seen that basically says when, you know, if it's, say, 4th-and-5 or 4th-and-5 and under, 4th-and-4, 3-2-1, obviously if it's 4th-and-20, no one is ever calling a fake punt test. But if the defense gives you a look to call run a fake punt,
you're going
to
take it.
You're going to run the fake punt.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's what you're going to do.
Sure.
Time and situation, there's a number of factors. But look at this, Taz, 35-3. Under 3 minutes
yeah,
to go.
It's rough.
You're running a fake punt. That's a tough one. And usually in the NFL, if you can't stop it, you can't stop it. So but that's a tough one when you're running that.
And again, I think why you did that.
Yeah,
why
right.
the team
try
did
it.
Try something while you're in it. I wouldn't have called it. But I'm not going to smash them over it. But I wouldn't have called it.
Yeah. And at that point, 10 Dolphin players quit.
They're like, call my agent up.
Guys,
I want out already.
We're out. I don't want to play professional football anymore.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I'm leaving.
A lot more NFL games to run into. We'll get into the Monday night affairs as well. Bobby Carpenter will join us a little later on the program as well. Plenty of your calls at 855-212-4CBS. What was the most disappointing performance of week one? Most disappointing performance of week one.
Oh, you're asking me now? I thought this was a little bit of a hook.
Yeah, it is.
Don't answer now.
No.
All right.
We're going to get to your answer next.
Give me a look. I was like,
my answer next. No, it was a hook. We're on the same page.
I love it. All right.
There you go. Taz Moose on Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
That's right. That is your number to call. Of course, it is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
Talking about stuff in the NFL and everything. We were talking about the Cleveland Browns before.
Disaster.
Yeah, just bad. Just beat up city. Let's go out to Erie, Pennsylvania and talk to Mike. Listen on 1260 AM. Mike, you're on with Taz and Moose. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
I listen to you guys on the way home in the morning. I love the chemistry between you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you, sir. Appreciate
as
that.
As does everyone else here.
Yes, exactly. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, so I got a question. It seems like from right out of the with such a big target being on the Browns, like from preseason, it just seems like they're out of the gate. I mean, they couldn't get any momentum from all the penalties. Now, some of them were so kind of soft at the beginning. It just seemed to carry on the whole game. Have you ever seen such a lopsided, game before with penalties like this?
The Raiders used to remember Al Davis and the Raiders. They were always the most penalized team.
You ain't trying.
Right,
that was a gimmick.
Right, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. But they were, Al Davis used to always believe in the conspiracy theory that because of his always battling the National Football League in the commissioner's office, that refs took the field looking to call penalties on the Raiders, that they were always one of the most penalized, if not the most penalized team during his ownership. Of the Raiders. Now, I don't know that, or you could just say they were a sloppy football team. Now, you look at, I think you have to go all the way back. I think the Raiders, I think I saw this stat yesterday. You have to go all the way back to see a team that was penalized this much, 18 times in the opening week. I believe the team was the Raiders. I could be wrong. I thought I saw that stat. But, yeah, they were really bad. I'm not telling you every call was the right call, but and when you get 18 penalties on you for over 180 yards in total,
that's just bad.
And you are home, that's bad football. That's bad coaching.
Yeah, Mike, that's the thing. It's not just, I'm not like most people, most football fans, I'm not a big fan of the refs. I know they have a tough job, but I think a lot, they mess it up a lot. These guys can control the game. I mean, I remember my high school coach, Mike, he told me when I was young and, I was a freshman, and we were talking, and he was like, yeah, the zebras run the game. I didn't know what that meant, and I'm like, zebras, oh, the stripes, I got it. So, and I learned that as a young guy, a young football player, like, they can control the game. But to Moose's point, Mike, you're a Browns fan, I'm assuming?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you guys got a lot of talent, and you got to be better than that. I just think it comes down to Kitchens has got to get them locked in, get more discipline. We always sit here and praise how great, Belichick is. That would never happen on a Belichick team, ever.
Well, and Taz, I think the word I think there is, what the Browns looked like yesterday? They looked like an undisciplined football
team. That's it. That's because of Kitchens, in my opinion.
I don't disagree with you there.
Mike, we appreciate the call.
And that would be the concern I'd have is Kitchens came in talking a big game, right? And with the big Southern draw and what they expect.
Yeah.
And
big gunslinger. Yeah.
Right. Last year was not a winning season and was not a successful year. And talked all that game. And his team went out there and laid an absolute egg in week one, where they looked sloppy. At times they looked unprepared. Mayfield held the football too long. The Titans' defense had their way with the Cleveland Browns up front. All ways you want to look at it, Taz, they looked like a sloppy, undisciplined football team. And that's tough to take. It's one thing to lose a game based on talent. It's another thing to go out and play basically undisciplined, bad football week one.
Right. No, it is. And that's what they played. Wow, look who just walked in.
Yes.
Andrew Bogut.
Andrew.
Wow, what's going on?
Talking about me. Sorry about that.
Yes.
Wow. All right, great to see you.
Sloppy and undisciplined?
Yeah.
Fair. Here's your report. It is sponsored by the NFL, who invites fans to participate in Huddle for 100. Fans are encouraged.
That's what you're referring to.
Wow.
Tough room.
No, he's not
before.
Sloppy. Tough co-host.
Undisciplined, maybe.
He's not sloppy.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
He's definitely not sloppy. He's kind of well-groomed.
Well, unless he's on the Jersey Shore in the summer.
Oh, he's a sloppy drunk?
No, I didn't say that.
You implied it. I
said he's just
out here
unshaven.
For a second.
I didn't say that.
Andrew,
no.
You're a big drinker?
No, I don't think so.
I just picture you pounding like beer after beer after beer. I picture you that guy on the like
what,
on the
beach.
What,
his wife is dragging him off the beach?
Yeah, come on, Angie, we got to go. No, leave me alone.
Yeah, like you definitely beer think cans that by being around me, but no.
Someone take his legs.
Yeah. I'm a big opening a beer bottle with my teeth kind of guy. Yeah, you know,
fold,
snap off the cap.
Fold the water. Yeah. Yeah.
Take that, seagull.
Right.
I stupid fish.
You just seem like that type of just a nasty.
No, I know, but I go against typecast. I'm not. I'm not that.
By the way, how are we all looking in the fantasy draft? I didn't look at the standings.
Oh, here we go. It's the first week.
Well, first of all, there are no standings yet.
I just want to know.
There's
no standings yet.
There's still games tonight. Nothing's been decided
There's
yet.
Nothing going on.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, Moose.
Well,
some
it's not
games
official.
Have been decided.
True, that's true. Fair point.
Like, well, according to, well, I've got a, I'm in a tight one. Well, Bash Pros is one
Bash
of our
Pros?
Strangers.
Oh, I got it.
You are a mock.
One of the listeners. Which one's Bash Pros? Do we know we need this person's name? I'm drawing a blank.
I think it's Eli, because the other guy
Eli
has the phone
from
number.
Eli? Is Eli my, okay, Eli. You said Eli, right? Yeah.
Yes, Eli from Sacramento.
All right. Okay.
So Yahoo says, I have a 65% chance of winning that match.
Really?
Yeah. As long as Deshaun Watson doesn't go nuts tonight, I should be okay.
Do you know who you're playing, Moose?
I do not.
I just had to look up who I'm playing because I didn't know either. I'm playing
Moose is playing Sam.
I imagine I'm losing.
Mike, you keep hitting the button too quick and you're cutting off what you're saying, bro. Say it again.
Moose is playing Sam.
Am I losing?
Right now you are, yes, you're losing.
Yeah.
Sam will fix that. It's a Syracuse thing.
I'm looking here.
Yeah, right.
He'll just bench where he's playing tonight.
Yeah. I'm looking.
I don't think I have any. I don't know if I have anyone going tonight.
I am winning right now.
Congrats.
Against 855-212-4227, the phone number. Bradley.
There
I'm playing Brad, and I'm beating his ass, 122-73. Okay? I'm not talking smoke here. I'm just saying, like, you know, I am winning right now. But he has Sanders going tonight. I'm Dunsky. I think I don't know. You know, Moncrief, I'm going to get rid of him. He's done. I'm getting rid of him. He stinks. He's not a good fan.
It's just one game.
Nah,
just, you can't react off one game.
Well, for that Patriot defense, too.
You got to let the game settle. You got to let the team settle a little bit. But do what you want. You're the GM. You run your team
I'm
as
the
you
boss,
see
bro.
Fit.
Yeah. I want to get rid of Rodgers, too. Aaron Rodgers, he stinks, too.
I'll take him. What do you want for Aaron Rodgers?
Looks like I'll take him. I'm right here.
Well, I'll take him.
I'll take him.
Yeah. If you want to get rid of him, I'll take him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
All right.
A nice fantasy update.
Okay.
All right.
Your, I mean, we don't, because they're not done, so we can't, you know, the games
we'll
aren't
get
done,
into it
so
tomorrow. We got all week long.
I just figured we'd do a little
spitballing. We could do pickups. Yeah.
Save it for Tuesday.
There you go.
I know I got three guys I'm really trying to move. I went and looked to see who got Gallup during the game. I go, I got to grab this guy. He's taken.
Mm.
I don't know who has him. I can't remember the name of the team.
You're a veteran fantasy player's dream.
Why? What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is you overreact to week one.
And I'll do the same in week two.
No, but my point being is that you'll take a guy that, you know, stars in week one, and then you're willing to trade the farm for that guy.
I'm
and
all
then
in.
All of a sudden, week five, you'll be like, my God, that was
You got
terrible
Michael
move.
Gallup? How about Aaron Rodgers?
Right. You're like, I'll take it.
Let me get back to you.
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah. You're like, why would you make that trade? Gallup's a star.
Gallup's great. See him play.
Look at him. Look what he did against that giant secondary.
That I do that. I got to be honest.
Yeah, I understand. So you are. That's what I mean by you are a veteran fantasy player's dream.
That's
I'm
why
more
I don't
of
go
one
in
where
these...
you settle down a little bit, let the team establish itself, then you'll figure out, and you have an idea where your weaknesses are, and then you have to go and maybe make some trades.
Well, right now, I look at Austin Ekeler as the best running back in the game.
Yeah. True.
After week one, fantastic.
Not sure if I mentioned this, guys, but your report today, this one at least, is sponsored by the NFL.
By the National Football
League.
Yeah,
I see. I got this part in. Then someone, I don't remember who, interrupted. Call me sloppy and undisciplined.
What's the tagline?
The NFL invites fans who participate in Huddle for 100. Fans are encouraged to volunteer by getting out, getting active, and improving their local environment. Visit NFL.com/Huddle for 100
nice.
To learn how you can get involved. What a start for the New York Jets. 4 takeaways, a 16-0 lead on those Bills. But nobody circles the wagons like...
Josh Allen alone in the backfield takes the snap. Looks down the middle. Looks left. Looks for John Brown. Gets separation. Makes the catch at the 10 into the end zone. Touchdown!
Yeah!
There's a flag on the play.
Oh.
Touchdown, Buffalo.
Yeah, the flag didn't matter. John Murphy, Bills Radio.
When I watched it live, it mattered. Yeah, I was panicking.
Suing PAT got Buffalo a 17-16 win at MetLife.
And on the jet broadcast, Marty Lyons on the radio side, the flag comes out, and he's like, don't worry. He said, the flag's on pass interference on the Jets. That touchdown will be good. I guarantee it. It was as obvious as the day. He didn't say this, but it was like it was so obvious. It's pass interference.
Oh,
that's a touchdown.
Ugh.
Bill's taking the lead.
Meanwhile, my Giants on one of the touchdown catches, where like I think it was, I don't know, one of them was running wide open in the middle of the field. The Giants are called for pass interference on the outside. Dude just tackled somebody at the line of scrimmage, but the guy with the ball, we let him run for free.
Yeah.
Speaking of good starts, remember when Washington led 20-0 in Philadelphia yesterday?
Yeah, that steps up. Here comes the rush. Yeah. He is going deep, and it is caught and in for a touchdown. DeSean Jackson.
Give the people what they want. Give them some more DJ.
Mike Quick, wow. Merrill Reese on Eagles Radio. Two of Carson Wentz's three TD passes went to DeSean Jackson. Back with the Eagles for the first time since 2013.
It was 17-7. It was 20-7.
Oh, 20-7.
They never led 20-0.
My fault.
It was 17-0. Touchdown to DeSean Jackson. Late field goal skins before the half to make it 20-7.
Either way, it was going really well.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't.
It was. Well, then the Eagles realized they had a game in the second half.
Good job on your update until that
27. If you guys listen more closely, you'd get a lot of those mistakes. The Patriots dismissed the Steelers last night. 33-3. Pittsburgh's lone points game late in the third quarter, I think. They rushed for just 32 yards. Tom Brady threw for 343 and three scores. And now today, they officially get Antonio Brown. The Chargers topped the Colts 30-24 in OT on Austin Eckler's 7-yard run. The Cardinals rallied from a 24-6 fourth quarter hole to force overtime. They and the Lions then each kicked field goals. They end in a 27-all tie. The Jaguars lost to the Chiefs 40-26 and lost QB Nick Foles to a broken collarbone. Surgery today. Foles is out indefinitely, as is KC wideout Tyreek Hill, who also injured his clavicle yesterday.
The kid who came in, okay, for Foles actually played really good. Minshew.
Yeah.
God, Minshew. He really played really good. And the kid had a crazy college career. He played at East Carolina for his first couple of years. Then he was at community college after that. Then he was going to go to Alabama. I knew he was going to sit on the bench at Alabama. But he wants to get into coaching. So he went to learn under Nick Saban. But then Leach picked him up. And he went and played for Washington State. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. But the kid came in. He really played good, man. I mean, I was like, so I mean, I feel bad for the Jaguars. Feel bad about the whole thing with Foles, for sure. That
and
sucks
getting thrown into that spot. Now he's going to prepare to be the number one guy. And Foles having the surgery today out in, you know, indefinite period of time.
Yeah.
That's a disaster.
I know.
For
I know.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. The complexion of your entire year just changed.
It did, man. It did. You know, that stinks for them. And by the way, Minshew, I'm looking down, he was 22 or 25 and was 275 yards, two touchdowns,
and
one INT.
And he played, what, like three plus quarters?
He did.
His hurt got hurt in the first quarter.
Against a pretty good Kansas City defense, you know? The thing is what happens. Now, let's say he plays next week and all that. You know, teams, defense.
Well, they'll prepare for him.
Yeah, prepare for him. They scout for him. So,
right, no doubt. And maybe he ends up being really successful this year.
I hope so for them.
You know, going in with the Super Bowl winning quarterback in Foles, you spent a ton of money on him in the offseason, and to not even get through the first game before he suffers a broken clavicle, and to look at all the hits they took in Philadelphia, and he never suffered that kind of an injury, and then all of a sudden week one against Kansas City at home, and he suffered that kind of injury.
That's bad. What was his? I don't remember Foles' money. You guys remember his money?
$480 It was a lot.
It was a lot of money.
He has though. He did break this back in 2014.
Right.
I read yesterday. I mean, it's a long time. Same thing. The left side.
Yeah. How much, Mike?
4 year, 88.
88.
Wow.
Yeah.
88 Milski.
And they have nobody else, by the way. I'm excited for them to start working out the
veterans.
The Brock Osweilers of the world this week to get a backup quarterback in there.
They got to find somebody.
Hey, go with Minshew, man. Go with this kid.
Well, no. Oh, they have no one behind him.
There's no backup.
They only have two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
College football, LSU jumps to number four.
Funny if Minshew got hurt.
In the AP poll.
Then who would you go with?
There's...
You run the triple option with Leonard Fournette.
You could do that, or you could ask Fournette to play QB.
Get
Westbrook. Hey, Didi, can you play quarterback?
Didi.
Jalen Ramsey, I'm sure, thinks he can play quarterback.
He probably could.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
Money.
LSU, go get that money, money.
Go get that money, money.
LSU's now number 4 in the new AP poll after Saturday's win at Texas. The list again begins with Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia. Excuse you. Less than a year after winning the World Series, Dave Dombrowski is out as Red Sox president. That happened minutes after last night's 10-5 home loss to the Yankees. They got homers from Mike Tauchman, Gleyber Torres, and
Aaron Judge.
The four-game series concludes tonight. Do we know what that means yet?
No, it means Tauchman.
Like, he socked it?
Yes. It's the Tauchman, but the Sockman.
Tauchman is the Sockman.
Tauchman with
the
Sockman.
He went out with a quad injury.
It sounds a little bad. I don't want to jump to conclusions.
So dumb.
But he talked about what sounds like an Achilles injury.
Noah pitched well yesterday.
He did, didn't he? In a big spot.
Big spot.
And another Mickey Callaway gem.
3-0 lead, giving it right back.
Walking a catcher to get to Bryce Harper because he wanted to have the pitcher come up in that same inning.
It's just...
Well, he wanted to get the pitcher out of the game.
But he faced Bryce Harper instead of
I'm
Mike
not defending
Knapp.
Mickey. But the two starters, Stroman's been a disaster.
Yeah, really
since
bad.
The acquisition for the Blue Jays.
And Anthony Kaye had 8 strikeouts on Saturday.
ZRA 10 hits he allowed in 4 innings.
Dude, every game. And guys don't just get hits on Stroman.
3-0 lead at home. You give that right back.
Dude. Guys don't just get hits on Stroman. They get solid
rockets.
Rope rocket line drives. Yeah. I mean, solid wood, man. Seriously, unbelievable.
Yeah. Last but not least, wood. Rafael
solid wood.
Nadal.
Opposed to like ash, which is not a solid.
No.
Maple's more of a solid.
Yeah, exactly. Especially this time of day.
I know my wood.
You
proved it. I know woods, I'm saying.
Yes, you know your wood.
you've told me about it.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. Huh?
What?
Yeah. You've discussed.
I think I'm done.
All right, thank you, Andrew. Oh, yeah. Great update.
Great job, except for really. That part when you,
concise,
thanks,
informing
guy,
on top of everything, knowledgeable. I mean, just brilliant.
Oh,
855-212-4227.
Go ahead, defend yourself. Go ahead, get on the mic.
Really cool.
What?
I feel like Mikey B. You'd think I created a podcast recently.
Oh no,
a lot of heat in here.
No, no heat. The Redskins just didn't blow a 20-0 lead. That's all. They did blow a lead. It wasn't a 20-0. That's all. 17-0 was the high water mark.
That's close. Taz.
It is close. It's just not. It's factually what?
Incorrect.
Thank you, Taz. It's Taz and the Moose on a Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose, coast to coast, pillar to post on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, football season's back, and there's no sweeter way to celebrate than by adding Snickers and Skittles, the official candy sponsors of the NFL, to your game day spread, of course. Well, sweet.
Looking at the...
Sweetie fruit, sweetie chocolate
My
snack.
Fantasy lineup, trying to make moves for tomorrow. Just once the Monday night games and moves, then that's when I start making my moves.
Well, good luck. Good luck. We got a doubleheader tonight. We really do, and it'll be a good one. And then yesterday, Taz, as we were running around the National Football League, talk a little bit about reaction to everything that transpired on your first NFL Sunday, out to Arizona, and, it looked like a lost day for the Arizona Cardinals, and then it turned into a miraculous comeback where – Kyler Murray showed a little bit of that Oklahoma magic for Arizona. I mean, I don't know how revolutionary that Kingsbury's offense is out in Arizona, but we saw the mishandling of the clock late by the Detroit Lions, Darrell Bevell and the like, and Matt Patricia and the like. And then you see a scenario where Arizona is able to take advantage of it, then they come roaring back from 24-9 down, Taz, to tie the game up and force overtime.
I watched this game. Okay, I missed the first few minutes of the first quarter, but I watched the bulk of this game. I was flipping back and forth to the, was it the Cowboys and Giants probably? Yeah, I think it was. I watched so many games, I'm like, my head was spinning. But anyway, I got to tell you, this game, the Cardinals, Kyler Murray, okay, you nailed it as far as that offense, by the way. There is nothing, I don't think it's that good of an offense. They run an option a lot, and the options run real quick, but it doesn't work. You know, the option is something that people tried to figure out to run in the NFL for decades because it's always been successful in college. It doesn't work in the NFL. These are grown-ass men that are very fast, the defensive guys. It's not working. But they're doing a lot of option. But that's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is there was zero energy, dude. The first two, probably three quarters of this game, Kyler Murray, they had a camera locked in on him on the sideline when his helmet was off and stuff. He looked like he wanted to be any place but there. I'm sitting, I'm telling my wife, I'm like, this is this kid's first professional game. All the hype, everything around him. He looks like he don't want to be there. He was clearly frustrated with something with the offense. Kingsbury kept talking to him. The coordinator kept talking to him. They kept talking to him on the bench. And then what I feel woke everybody up on that Cardinal team was Larry Fitzgerald. He made some big catches, and to Kyler's credit, he made a couple of good throws. But he kind of got fired up because the building in Arizona, they were quiet, dude. The people, it was like a church. They were not into the game because the team was not, there was no energy. They were losing the game. But, dude, I got to tell you, he looked good in that fourth quarter, Kyler Murray, into overtime, too. He played good.
He played very, very well. Hockenson, the rookie tight end for the Lions, played very, very well as two. I think Lion fans are going to be frustrated by the timeout late by that Lion coaching staff with Daryl Bevel. But Taz, we'll see what Murray is able to build upon in terms of this performance. A game that ends up in a 27-all tie. We'll see if Murray's able to build upon it, but he showed a little bit of that magic to where you could start to be excited because I think at 24-9 down, I think everyone was kind of looking to put the first shovel of dirt on Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, and then all of a sudden the fourth quarter happened to where they said not so fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to back up, you said Daryl Bevel with that timeout. That was – the Lions had the game won, and that's why Stafford, he was pissed, furious when they called that timeout. And – Patricia was kind of taking heat for it. He's like, well, only I could call a timeout. I'm the head coach. But I think it was either Fox or NBC, whatever the affiliate was. I know Mark Schlereth was doing – Schlereth, Fox, was doing the color commentary. He was burying the offense of he said something like – this is pretty funny. Like at halftime, he goes, well, the offense for the Cardinals in the first half – and I'm paraphrasing it a little bit. I would like to say it's trash, but that be an insult – to trash.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he ripped it, and he wasn't wrong, but then they woke it up. But anyway, the timeout deal by the Lions, dude, that was really odd and really bad, and I think it cost them the game. The Lions were fixing to win the game and kill the clock, eat the clock up. Didn't happen.
No.
Bad move right there.
No doubt about it. And you know another bad performance yesterday? How about Jameis Winston at home down in Tampa as the Buccaneers fall to the San Francisco 49ers 31-17? A game that many people thought might have been a closer football game. It was not. It's not like Garoppolo lit it up or any kind of offensive star for the San Francisco 49ers. But Jameis Winston was downright putrid. I mean, 20 of 36, 194 yards, one touchdown, and three interceptions. And Bruce Arians, you know, comes out of retirement, health struggles and all, Taz. We know what he did out in Indianapolis with Andrew Luck, and we know what he did in Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger, and we know that he has a previous relationship due to quarterback camps that he runs in the offseason with Jameis Winston. So he takes that job looking to revitalize the former Florida State star, and yesterday, the same inaccuracy or poor decisions that has haunted Jameis Winston as a starter in the NFL, they continued week one against the 49ers.
No doubt about it. And one of his targets, O.J. Howard, a tight end, was on my fantasy team. He was just one of the many guys that played bad. I mean, he played bad there's just something missing. Like, I don't know if it's Winston. I don't know if it's just the whole offense. Just watching Tampa Bay a little bit, they're just not – there's nothing there.
Yeah, Taz, I don't think it's going to be too long here to where you start to kind of turn the page. If it continues in this conjecture, Taz, I don't think it becomes too long till you start to turn the page on Jameis Winston as a starter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I think you're right, dude.
To where they start to transition thinking about their future signal caller. Because you could look at some of the gaudy stats in the past. The turnovers will kill you. Yeah, Bill Parcells used to always tell quarterbacks, priority number one. He doesn't care about the take care of the football. Winston can't take care of the football.
Exactly, and that's the key right there. And three interceptions. See, Winston, bad day.
Brutal. One of them taken back to the house by Sherman for a touchdown.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
We'll come back. We got all the three biggest headlines for you here on this Monday morning. It's Taz. It's the Moose. It's CBS Sports Radio.